You know, I was just listening very closely to what Brother Dan was saying a while ago. You know, the bottom line of everything he was saying is souls. Why do we take extra time? I mean, you know, I mean, there are several extra things that we're talking about today. But you know, it's all souls. It should be all souls. What the Church of the Living God should all be all about is souls. I was blessed to minister a couple of mornings, would have ministered Friday morning, but the weather was not permitting making it all the way to Dallas. But we were ministering there, Christ for the Nations, to the full assembly of their school there. And in having lunch with Dr. Lindsay and his wife and two of the leadership of that institution, talking about Scott Hinkle. I love Scott Hinkle. He's a precious man of God. He's been a blessing to our church in years gone by, and he's just a busy guy everywhere. But Scott has such a passion for souls. And he's asking the question, and that question came up in lunch, and we discussed it from our hearts. Why are we still here? Why are we still here? Think about it. Because the job's not through. You know, it's kind of like the man that kept flunking school and he was in the third grade and had a long beard. You got to ask yourself, excuse me, Santa Claus, I didn't mean to. But you've got to understand what I'm saying. God gave us a job to do. And in the 24th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verse 14 said, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness." He didn't say you'd win them all. We don't win them all when we go out. We win we're seeing a greater percentage won today than ever before, but we don't win them all. But he said, witness we must. And when is the Holy Spirit enables us to do it? Go into all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. You say, what's happening in the world? See, I'm not on a negative. Man, dear Lord, no. We can't afford, don't have time to waste on that. But church, we've got to wake up. Do you realize how many hundreds of people are being martyred while we're sitting here in this comfortable auditorium today? I mean, not shot. I mean, not a simple taking someone's life by hanging, as grotesque as that may be. But do you realize there are believers all over the world now that are giving their lives for what we're in this, supposedly, and I believe, I know that's where I'm coming from, and I believe that's where the majority of this church is coming from. We're here because we want to do the job God called us to do. We're not just here trying to be religious. Not just trying to be religious. And if there was ever a time that we need to cry for the supernatural, if there was ever a time that we need to cry for the supernatural, it's right now. Actually, the first five chapters of the book of Acts, I was in prayer yesterday, and the Spirit of God just began to speak some things into my heart. And by the grace of God, maybe I can give a few of them here today. But the thing that God really impressed on my heart at that point is what I endeavored to speak about last week, last Sunday evening. The Bible says in the fourth chapter of Acts that when they had prayed, it's not a very popular thing, but you know, the cry of my heart is, let's get back to basics. Amen. Let's get back to basics. Let's not forget the supreme task of the church. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I go back to several years ago when we were in Jamaica with Dr. Gordon Lindsay and some of the Voice of Healing evangelists at that point, and passing the pool there where, at the hotel where we were staying. I met Edward R. Murrah, and he said, "Where are you going, young man?" And we met, and I told him my name. And he said, "Well, what are you going to do here?" I said, "We're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ." And I'll never forget the sarcasm of that newscaster. He said, "Why are you doing that? These people are happy just like they are." See, that's the attitude of the world in which we live. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you going out? Why are you trying to rearrange somebody's life? Why? But the Bible tells us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I'll never forget, I'd been in the ministry a few years, but I was still green in a lot of areas. But it was a shock treatment to me that a professional person like that would have such a caustic attitude. Why are you coming over here to bother them? They're happy just like they are. Yeah, people are happy going to hell. The only thing that keeps them happy is happy hour. And the bottle that goes with it after and before. No, really, I'm serious. Yeah, the world, that's why the world doesn't stay sober very long. But there's a heaven, there's a hell. There is a heaven and there's a hell. And as I looked into the Word of God, my heart is stirred this morning. And I was just, Dan, you did a good job of challenging us and reminding us of what it's all about. Did a good job of challenging us. What's it all about? They begin to cry out. They begin to pray to God. And they begin to cry for the supernatural. Church, tonight we're going to do at least as much praying as preaching. It's time to pray. It is time to pray. There's a time to say, there's a time to pray. I believe in confessing the word, speaking the word. It's a vital part of my life. And I thank God for the understanding of the power of speaking the word of God. But there's still something of just humbling your heart before God, whether you're standing, kneeling, prostrate on a carpet. We just need to stop and slow down and just call upon the name of God. Not loud, not quiet, not begging, not informal religion, but I mean just submit ourselves to God. You know, part of courtship is just being quiet and enjoying being together. Huh? Some of you need to re-remember that. It's been well said, you know, so many people are looking for the greener grass on the other side of the fence. If you water the grass on your side of the fence, you water the grass on your side of the fence, and you're going to get yourself a new husband and a new wife without going through all the misery of divorce and all the craziness that has to come there. Water your side of the fence. Sheep break their neck trying to get through a fence because they think the grass over there is greener than their grass. And they literally will break their neck. That's part of a shepherd's job. I know, especially when we were in Scotland, they related that story to us. They begin to cry out in the book of Acts for the supernatural. There was a supernatural prayer. There was a supernatural prayer. Yes, when they had prayed, but let's go back to the simple, they prayed. They prayed. They prayed. And churches are majoring on everything but prayer. Everything but outreach. Everything but soul winning. And so the marching orders before Jesus left, go to Jerusalem, go to the upper room, don't leave home without it. What? Not your American Express card, but the power of the Holy Ghost. Don't leave home without it. Don't try ministry without it. Don't go anywhere without it. Don't do anything. Jesus is going back to the Father. But don't try to do anything except through the power and the energy and the dynamics of the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. So there was a supernatural cry in prayer. There was a supernatural receiving of power in Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And we've blown that whistle until we almost wore it out. We've honked that horn until we almost honked it out. The battery's down. I mean, you know, praise God, we got the power. We got, and I believe in that. I sing it, I believe it. It's a part of my DNA. But you got to read the rest of the verse. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye, you, me, us, shall be witnesses. Of what? Unto me. Unto me. We're witnesses of Jesus. Not him. I know you soul winners run into that quite a while. Well, I know him. Who be him? I want to hear who him is. Somebody's trying to give me some foolishness saying God had told them to do certain things that were totally off the wall. They said, he told me. Well, he told me. I said, who be he? Who's he? Who's him? Come on, tell me his name. His name is Jesus. If it's not Jesus, you're on the wrong road. You're on the wrong track. You're on a dead end street, honey. It's got to be more than he. It's got to be more than him. It's got to be Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's who him is. That's who he is. Let's just go ahead and say it. His name is Jesus. That's why I was so fired up during the rodeo time. The first night of rodeo, they bring out one of the head Muslims in this area. And you'd be shocked to find out how many temples they've built in Houston. I don't have any idea, even in this particular area. While we're sleeping at the switch, ISIS is rising up and Muslim temples are being built. Folks, it's time we just, in the name of Jesus, it's time to let the Holy Ghost sharpen your two-edged sword. It's time for us to get all fired up. It's time for us to get hacked off with the works of the enemy. It's time to do the works of God. It's time to reach people for Jesus. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. There's more than speaking in tongues. And I speak in tongues as much probably or hopefully more than many of you all. But there's more to it than that. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. You know, the supernatural, It took five chapters before someone told a lie. My Lord God, I'm so sick of Christians lying, I could barf. Well, God told me. Yeah, God told you nothing. I mean, I've heard the most foolish stuff in my life the last two or three years. Well, God told me. God told me. My Lord, don't blame your foolishness on God. It's like God told you don't have to make your house payments anymore. God told you don't pay the finance company anymore. Don't make a payment on your car or truck anymore. You know what would happen? Oh, God speaking to us. There was the supernatural. It took five chapters before Ananias and Sapphira came in and told a lie at separate times and situations. It took five chapters before they could tell a lie. That's the last thing they did was tell a lie. The last thing they heard was Peter saying, you didn't lie to me, you lied to the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, I'm to the point I'm crying out, let judgment begin in the house of God. We need an old-fashioned dose of the fear of God in our lives. Not afraid we'll get caught. but that we do not want to grieve the heart of God or break the heart of God. Amen. You know, it's interesting. I know of one incident in Canada. I know of another incident here in the United States, and it didn't happen that long ago. I had inside knowledge of people that had left a certain church and just kept causing hell on earth with that pastor. And the social media, you can say anything about anybody nowadays. You can say, I killed my grandmother. And there's nothing you can do about it. There's not a thing in the world you can do about it. But, you know, people that just kept giving hell on earth to people that loved them and were going forward and clean and doing the work of just yakety, yakety, yakety. And one of them was shoveling snow up in Canada and dropped dead. You say, that's harsh. It's harsh, but I know what the man was up to. And I did counseling, trying to keep some pastors from taking someone out almost. Amen. The same thing happened over in the United States. And people just, you know, if you don't like something, just go and shut your mouth and enjoy where you go. Amen. Hush. Just hush. The man that's just causing hell on earth, and one of our young ministers, and just on and on and on. Well, I've known the man. I've known his track record. But this time, I guess the Holy Spirit got a belly full of it. And very unexpectedly, he's gone into eternity. You know, I believe God's calling us. Folks, this thing's serious. This is life and death. For me, it is. It's life and death. Every time I preach, I realize it could be the last time I preach. It could be the last time that I minister the Word of God. I want to tell it like it is. I want to tell the truth. I want to speak from the heart of God. I want to challenge you. This is what God's Word says. Not just what Pastor Bob thinks about it. It's what God's Word said. Amen. So they cried out. There was a supernatural prayer. There was a supernatural power. There were supernatural finances. People did some unusual things. You say this is communism or socialism. No, 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 no. No, they just, if it was in their power, people didn't suffer. And the people they helped rose to the occasion of helping someone else. It wasn't enabling someone, or it wasn't just supporting somebody for the rest of your life. There's a difference in that. But how many of us have had a boost at one time in our life that made the difference? Dear Lord, I remember in this ministry, there are times when somebody helped us and it made the difference. Just like on ice when your wheels are spinning and someone comes along, gives you a little push, and you're on your way again. There are people that God has spoken to from time to time, especially in those early days, that did some unusual things, and it was just at the right time. And I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. I thank God for it. And I'm crying out for supernatural finances. But the only reason we are expecting supernatural finances is so we can finish the harvest. And we can reap more souls. And we can reach more people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I look at the harvest here. You know, we're losing the numbers game. There's got to be wholesaling. And we say, well, I don't believe in all those big numbers. Well, remember now, let me just come back here. I want you to know this better than I know it, because this is a God told me so, that it's so right, you know it's right when I tell you. When we stand before God, I'd rather be a pastor of a church that 79,000 or whatever people heard a clear-cut witness about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's say they didn't receive it, but they heard it. That means in the final day that 79, if that's the figure, that 79,000 people could never say, well, you know that church down there, you know, they got that big church down there, got that nice Christian school, you know, that's that big church. They call us the big church. Of course, that orange roof up there is getting some attention. Red orange roof, you know. But, you know, it's more than that. It's more than that. Amen. I said it's more than that. Praise God. It's about harvest. It's all about harvest. It's all about harvest. God didn't put you here. God didn't put you here. But the supreme reason to be born again, number two, let's go after somebody else and get as many people born again as we possibly can. I think it was Mike Warnke years ago. He was kind of a, he was a funny guy, a comedian, but he was also a soul winner. He said, when the rapture takes place, I'm going to grab a sinner on each side. And as I go up in the air, I'm going to have a sinner on both sides of me. Then about 40,000 feet, I'm going to say, accept Jesus or I'm going to drop you. Now, that's science fiction. That's not the word. I'm not declaring that to be the word. But I've always laughed when he's gone on to be with the Lord himself. Can't you imagine you got a sinner on both sides up about 40,000 feet? Boy, you accept Jesus. Woo. I believe it's about time, you know. Woo. I believe. Well, that's foolish, so we'll move on. But I think of the harvest. I think of the harvest. I think of the harvest. There are so many ideas, so many things. You know, man, you get cabin fever with all this ice and snow in this part of the country. I've been up in Canada where it's 50 below zero and they come out to early morning prayer. You know, that's just, we live in this part of the country. But, you know, I've probably seen more television than I've seen in a long time. And, you know, I just thought, man, no wonder the world thinks we're crazy. I mean, I'm even trying to follow some religious folks. I mean, it's almost like you have to know a code to listen to a broadcast, you know. See it big, but keep it simple. See it big, but keep it simple. Amen. See it big, but keep it simple. What it's all about is you got saved, now get somebody else saved, and help them get somebody else saved. And let's reap the harvest. Let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. Praise God. Day of Pentecost, Bible said 3,000 people. That fascinates me. That has fascinated me for years. I think about it. I pray about it. I meditate on it. Where did those 3,000 people come from? They didn't have television. They didn't have radio. They didn't have social media. Where did those 3,000 people come from? Well, when you do your part, the Holy Ghost is going to do his part. I'm saying something. When we do our part, then the Holy Ghost is going to do his part. We do our best, then watch God's best shine. Where did they come from? How did they hear? How did all this come together? I don't know, but I glory in the fact that 3,000 ever-living, never-dying souls came to the Lord Jesus Christ because 120 people obeyed the command and were filled with the Holy Ghost. 3,000 people. Well, that's wonderful for a start. And then you don't go but just a few more verses, and you find that 5,000 people came to the Lord. God, stir us about what it's all about. Stir us about why are we still here? Why am I still here? Why am I still here? There's a reason I'm still here. There's a reason I'm still preaching. There's a reason I still have a fire in my belly. There's a reason I still have vision. Talking to a number of leaders in Dallas the other day that they're fascinated by someone who's pastored a church for 50 years. I said, that's not the important thing. It's doing the will of God. I just can't find an exit. God shows me an exit. Well, then that'll be all right. I don't mind a God exit. But, oh, there's a job to do. And you got to live a little while to have enough sense to know how to live. And then to instruct others to know how to live. And praise God, we haven't hit full stride yet. We've seen God do some awesome things in this church over the years, but we haven't hit full stride yet. Praise God, we haven't hit full stride yet. But it's coming, that second wind, or whatever you want to call it. Years gone by, I have run. And you're jogging. I know what that second wind is. You feel like you've gone as far as you can go, but oh, thank God, there's a shifting of gears. And church, it's time for us to shift gears. Man, when I started in the ministry, I mean, nothing made any difference. Nothing, nothing. I was crazy. I'm still about half crazy. God, don't let me be delivered from crazy. I believe we can reach our part of the end time harvest. I believe we can do what God's called us to do. I believe we can fulfill the will of God for us, for this generation. I believe we can do it. There's a part of some days, you know, it's been amazing. I've had more encouraging cards. I've had more sincere things said of people that never say anything to anybody. And it's amazing how that the Spirit of God can just use a few words through certain people. But I tell you, from everything I'm hearing from up way up high, from everything I'm hearing from heaven, praise God, we're getting ready to shift gears. We're going uphill with an 18-wheeler. It's the same truck, but we got to shift gears. It's the same truck, but got to shift gears. Praise God, we've got to shift gears. And I believe now, I've never sensed a greater peace in this church. I've never sensed a greater team spirit, a greater spirit of unity. I believe we finally got things settled down, or the Holy Ghost got things settled down, where we can give our entire energy and do what God's called us to do. Be what God's called us to be and go forward. 3,000, 5,000. And they said, these that have turned the world upside down. Glory to God. Who would have ever thought that millions of people would be under the signal of a television, of a Christian television station in Kampala, Uganda? Millions of people are under that signal. Now, we don't have millions in this auditorium today, but we got millions in different places that are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We first went over. A lot of people say, well, where is Uganda? Now every time I turn around, somebody's going to Uganda. Or I'm hearing something about Uganda. I mean, God is moving. God is stirring. God is touching. But let me tell you, we're not the only thing there, but I'm telling you, God has used that. That's why when anyone goes to Uganda, I'm very interested in them going to see our station, see where we've invested and where this church has such a such a marvelous, marvelous opportunity to get the gospel of Christ out. So they cried with supernatural prayer. They received the supernatural through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They saw harvest, 3,000, 5,000, these that have turned the world upside down. They saw finances, supernatural finances. Don't give up your faith on your finances. So, well, I'm believing God to get me out of debt. Well, don't keep getting yourself back in debt. Boy, it got silent there. Woo, got my credit card clear. Now we can take advantage of all these winter specials. That's where you got yourself in a mess to begin with. Part of it. Hallelujah. A lot of things we don't need. A lot of things we can live without. Supernatural healings. The man at Gate Beautiful, lame from his mother's womb. That's a long time. That's a big deal miracle. Lame from his mother's womb. Alms, alms. And what Peter said has been interpreted God knows how many different ways. I don't know. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But Peter said, what you're expecting, we may not have an abundance of right now. But what you really need, we've got all you need. We've got Jesus. Rise, take up, just rise. And the man went into the temple walking and leaping and praising God. Wouldn't you have liked to have been in church that day? Ushers, what's all that stir going on back there? Well, they got somebody on either side of it. Oh, that's the man that used to be down here begging for money. Oh, and he's leaping and walking and praising God. He's not going to beg anymore. He's going to make money. He's not going to beg money. He's going to make money. Glory to God. Supernatural healings, signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, as I read through, I don't have time to read you the whole five chapters of the book of Acts, but there was unity. They were in, it all started with one place, one accord. One place, one accord. I'll tell you, Satan can't stop unity. I'll tell you something else that's fascinated me, really has fascinated me, and that was the Tower of Babel. That human beings not honoring God as you honor God, knowing God as you know God, purposed in their heart to build a tower up to God. You say, well, that's impossible. God didn't think so. He said, we're going to go down and see what's going on. And God went down. And God stopped the thing and confused their languages. But what it shows us is this. Nothing is impossible if a given group of people will get in one mind, one accord, not have divided loyalties, divided this, divided that. There's always somebody coming around here trying to divide. Always someone coming around trying to get somebody's attention off somewhere else. Do something else. Folks, we've got a gold mine here. We got a baby on the doorstep. We got a baby on the front doorstep. We can't ignore the baby. Babies die if you ignore them. We can't ignore the harvest. God's put babies on our doorstep. God's given us an opportunity. Satan huffed and puffed and blew the downtown location away, but God put us 3 miles down the road. Gave us a new school in the process. Then, of course, has raised up a tremendous television station, and that's not all God's doing, but it is one of the greatest missionaries. Listen, Pastor Nichols, I don't care what you call it, Baptist, Methodist, Church of Christ, Catholic, one of the greatest mission outreaches in the world is in Kampala, Uganda, and you got interest in it. You've got interest in it. It's one of the greatest, and I'm not glamour struck by television. I'm not a television guy right now. I've done it, and I'll do it when God opens the door, but we're not going to sell the ranch to do that either. God's used us to help raise and build and raise up. But praise God, you're part of that. Think about that. Unity, one place, one accord. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Come here, Dan. Come here just a moment. Here's the thing. Everything you were talking about this morning takes money. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And you've been in the ministry a few years. You know what works. You know what doesn't work. You were a minister's son. You've seen the good, the bad, the ugly, the worst, and the best.
Yes.
But you also know faith in God really works.
Amen.
Faith in God really works.
Yes.
And I want to set myself in agreement with you that it was God that fired the shot of get back into outreach stronger than ever. We've done outreach. This church has done. We got our start with outreach way back when. But then you have better and lesser times. But I set myself in agreement with Dan.
Yes.
We're agreeing. You want to agree with us?
Thank you.
That we're going to see supernatural outreach. We are going to see God do what no other power can do.
Amen.
We're going to see it, Dan.
Yes, sir.
We're going to see it.
Yes, sir.
It's impossible for 79,000 people.
Right.
It's impossible. It's impossible. But we serve a God of the impossible. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's impossible that 6,000. Where are the 6,000 people have gone out to witness to people about Jesus? Thank you for happily being a part of that. Thank you for having such a... I'm going to tell you, if you knew this guy like I know this guy, I appreciate Dan. Dan has kept a good spirit under some of the most trying circumstances that a young man could face. That's right. He's loved his pastor. He's loved his church. He's loved his wife. He's loved the work of God. And the hand of God is on you. Father, we set ourselves in agreement right now.
Thank you, God.
Dan Kraft and I are in agreement.
Yes.
We're going to see the harvest come in.
Yes.
In a greater way.
Yes, God.
Yeah, it takes a few extra minutes in the service to talk about it. But it's all about souls.
Yes.
It's not my great preaching. That's part of it, but that's not all of it. That's just a part of it. Father, I thank you that there's a supernatural anointing upon Dan and those that work with him to reach the harvest. I thank you. Oh, hallelujah. God's going to give you quick and creative ideas. You and Ashley, God's going to give you quick and creative ideas. Praise God, praise God. Ashley, come up here and agree with us. Come up. Hey. See, I'm going to tell you something that's so very important to the ministry. Let me tell you something that's all important to the ministry. Blessed is the minister that has a companion who believes God. Blessed is blessed, whether it's an evangelist or a missionary or a pastor. Blessed is the man of God who has a woman of God, who's not driving him nuts, who's not given to gossip, who's not always in a catfight with something, who's not always causing strife and division. Blessed is the man of God that has a woman of God. Because it takes a better woman of God to live with a man of God, I can assure you of that. Amen. We're drivers, we're visionaries, we're out there front line pushing. But I couldn't have done what I've done without my wife, Joy. I couldn't have done it. For 50 years, she's never said, "Bob, what's in it for us?" I couldn't do what I've done or whatever God's enabled me to do. Thank God. Thank you, darling, being such a precious companion. I love that lady with all my heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for Ashley. She's in agreement. I mean, I'm just using them as an example, but I'm using you as a working example. What we're this isn't showcase. This isn't show business. What we agree on, it's going to come to pass. It's coming to pass right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for being in agreement. Thank you for being in agreement with Dan. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Got anybody else in Brock? Bring them on up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brock, Texas. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak special blessing over Dan and Ashley right now. And I say the fire of God is burning in them. The anointing of God is upon them. And we're calling in outreach. We're calling in outreach. And we're going to, Father, we call in finances also. We call in supernatural finances into this church. We call in supernatural finances. Oh, God. Yeah, there's things we need to do and things that need to look better and remodeling that we need to do. But God, part of it, a good part of it is outreach to those who need you. So I just speak blessing over Dan and Ashley, and I speak blessing over their children. In the name of, and all of our staff, all of our staff. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be unto God. To put God first. Shout it out with me, church. It's time to put God first. Time to put God first. Oh, it's time to put God first. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, I woke up Friday morning in the middle of my sleep, in the middle of the night. I woke up, my spirit was saying, cry out to God for the supernatural, an acceleration of the supernatural. Cry out to God. I woke up crying out to God for the supernatural. Hallelujah. Well, stand to your feet. I don't know what I've done, exhortation, sermon, or challenge, or whatever. I've just tried to open my heart this morning. There's a world on fire. What if you just got the news that your aunt and uncle had been beheaded, or that some member of your family was in a cage and they set him on fire for Jesus? Folks, we need to wake up. Our little old silly, stupid stuff is, it's going to melt like snow when the sun comes out. Got to wake up. There's only one life. 'Twill soon be past. And only what's done for Christ will last. It's not showtime. It's not show business. Oh, it's time to put God first. Time to put him first. Let me just reach out, just with heart sincerity. You know, I was raised in a generation that came to church. And I just challenge all of us. We've got to keep our battery charged to do what I'm talking about this morning. And no, there's no condemnation. We have people that drive a long way and they can't be here this morning because of weather. We have people that put forth a supreme effort to be in our services, and I understand that. So there's no heaven or hell if you're not here every time the doors are open. That's not what I'm coming. But when you can, we need you. God needs you. We need one another. We need to come to our own company. We need to rub shoulders with our own company. Encourage our own company. Father, I just pray there's going to be a supernatural hunger for the house of God. And Lord, you're going to just let the fire of God so burn that we can't wait to get back to the house of God. And we'll win souls going out, and we'll win souls coming in. And we'll be good husbands and wives and parents to our children, but we'll not forget the harvest. We'll not forget the harvest. Oh, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Call it the harvest.
God, we cry out for the harvest, Lord. Your word says that if we ask, that you would give us the harvest, God. We cry out for the nations, God. We cry out for this city, Lord, this county, this state, Lord. We see it going out as a ripple effect. God, we call in the people, Lord, from the north, the south, the east, and the west. God, that your Holy Spirit is even now beginning to woo them and draw them in, God. That they will drive by the building and see that they will have a friend that speaks out, Lord. God, however you want to do it, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are sending out the laborers, God. We call out for those laborers to go out and speak forth the word of God, to speak forth the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation. Lord, and as they speak it out, that power will go through and be that salvation to them, God, and they will begin to serve you all the days of their life, Lord, and then they will begin to speak the gospel to others. Lord, it just creates that snowball effect. In the name of Jesus, the harvest is coming in greater measure as never before, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, I just agree with Ashley, Lord, with Pastor Bob. We set ourselves in agreement to reap the harvest. Father God, we are setting our sights on you, Lord. We're putting our hands to the plow, and we're not looking back. You said those who do that are not fit for the kingdom of God. So, Lord, we're not looking back, but we will not stop, God, until we've reaped the harvest. Lord, I thank you for that balance, Father God, that radical balance that you've given us, Lord. Thank you, God, that many hands make light loads, Father God. We just thank you for bringing in many hands. Just like my brother just told me earlier, we want to do the things that nobody else will do. Put us down for those things that other people don't want to do. That's where we specialize in. Lord, I thank you for that spirit in this church, Father God. I thank you for that spirit in the staff, Father God, and in the members of this church, Father God, every team member, Father God, that they have that spirit. Lord, we want to do, and we will be willing to do whatever you've called us to do, God, because we love you and we serve you, Father God. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you, God. And thank you, Lord, for the blessing and the outpouring upon every person today. I just believe, and in my heart I sense that today, as people have linked arms with God to reap the harvest, that they've linked arms with blessings. They've linked arms with more than enough. They've linked arms. Hallelujah. If you've connected with God in a special way today, you don't just reap the blessing of reaping the harvest, but also the blessing of the finances, the blessing of the healing, the life, the strength, and all the things that you need, that you've linked arms with the provider this morning. And as you link arms with the provider, hallelujah, he's going to send reinforcements. He's sending reinforcements. Our trust is not in that, and our hope is not in that, because God can save by many or by few. It's not in numbers, but it's by the Spirit. And so you've gotten in the Spirit of God today, and we don't trust in the numbers, but we thank God for them, because they do represent the souls that are involved in reaping the harvest. And Jesus would not have told us to pray that the Lord would raise up harvesters and laborers if he was not planning on doing it. And God will use you this week. So just be prepared and be ready as you go forth this week to be a blessing and to bring in not only harvest, but harvesters, in Jesus' name.
I want everyone that's on staff around here, I want you to just come down and stand in this front area right here. Just all staff. Just, yeah. Everybody's let you guys release you to go to. And I want this church to come in behind, and we're going to pray for this staff. We're going to pray for this staff right here. We're going to pray for them. My wife needs a healing in her body this morning. She's a little croupy. I thought she'd want to stay home. She said, no, I want to go to church. I want to go to church. Amen. I want to go to church. Would you just close in? Just close in behind these precious people. We have some wonderful, wonderful people doing a wonderful job. Amen. Even volunteers. Thank God. Supernatural. The supernatural. The supernatural. Oh God, the supernatural. Why are we still here? That question has just been constantly with me for the last over 48 hours, well, more than 48 hours now. One of the leading soul winners in America. Why are we still here? Because the last soul has not been reached. Because there's still something of the, with the social media, with all the electronic, with everything, the satellites, all the breakthroughs, you'd think everybody in the world had heard, but everyone has not heard. Obviously, everyone has not heard. It could happen here in Fort Worth, Texas. It could happen in Kampala, Uganda. It could happen in a lot of places. I want us to cry out to God. I'll never forget down in Mexico, staying with Wayne Myers. I was there preaching a conference in Mexico City. Early in the morning, the first morning, I spent the night there. He had three or four little sticks of firewood. He went down, started a little fire. And up the stairway, I heard the voice of missionary evangelist Wayne Myers said, "Oh, Lord, the harvest, the harvest." Man, I jumped up, grabbed my bathrobe, came down that step, woke up real quick. I thought, what a privilege to pray with a soul winner that's given his life for a nation. Oh, church, this morning there's something supernatural that's stirring in this room. I know it's cold weather and inclement. Church, we passed, the parking lot's always full. We passed it this morning, it was half full. So there's a lot of churches, and we have people out this morning, but you're here, and the Holy Ghost is here, and God's here, and Jesus is here. Let's lift our voices. Let's release our faith to our staff this morning that the Spirit of God is going to just draw us closer together. Everyone's welcome at the front. No one's excluded. Father, we lift our voice this morning. We lift our voice this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray, especially right now, over our staff, Father. We pray over our staff. Oh God, anoint them with the power of the Holy Spirit.